grateful. And you know that second verse that we sang? When through the woods and forest glades I wander and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Boy, so many folks miss that, don't we? You know, we're raising a generation of kids who can't get away from electronic devices, who haven't been out in the woods and felt the breeze or walked and seen a brook. I remember when I was a kid in the 60s, my dad was preaching at Riverwood in Nashville. I was in elementary school. There was about four of us guys lived within a block or two of my house. There was a swamp down behind our house about 300 or 400 yards away with a cave in it. Man, we'd go down there. We caught crawfish. We caught salamanders. We swung on vines until one day a kid a little heavier than the rest of us was swinging on it, and the whole thing pulled down, and a whole bunch of limbs fell. Fortunately, nobody got hit. Those are the kind of things we did. Kids today have no clue. And parents would be scared to death. And I understand, as a grandparent, send your kid to a swamp with snakes and all that. Man, we need to get out. If you haven't been out in the woods lately, do it. Bundle up. You know, you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn, but if you did, you would be blessed, I have no doubt. I don't make a habit out of it, but, you know, every now and then the alarm gets set for 3:15 and get into Tennessee by 5:15. And, you know, and to watch the sun come up, feel the breeze on your face, I tell you, it's hard to beat. And it's hard to believe when you're out there enjoying all of that, that there is no God. A lot of our problem is we have folks that don't understand nature. And when you don't understand the nature of the natural order, it's very difficult to understand the nature of the spiritual order. And to understand that God, in His omnipotence, omniscience, and love, spoke it all into existence. But that's not what our sermon is about this morning. Just couldn't help but throw that in. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, let me read three very familiar verses. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, this is Paul writing, for by inspiration, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Notice he learned that. You weren't born with it. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the most familiar, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The poem you have there in the handout, I wanted to share with you. I read it. Wayne Dunaway has put it out in an email. And if you know him at all, he's heavily into poetry. He writes a bunch of it himself. But this is a poem that apparently was given by Jeffrey Holland in a devotional address given at Brigham Young University back in 1989 on January 17th. And if it sounds familiar, Rudyard Kipling fans, please do not take offense. If you can smile when things go wrong and say it doesn't matter, if you can laugh off cares and woes, and trouble makes you gladder, if you can keep a cheerful face when all around are blue, then have your head examined, bud. There's something wrong with you. But one thing I've arrived at, there are no ands or buts. A guy that's grinning all the time must be completely nuts. And I realize the poem, if you can keep your head when all around are losing theirs, then you are a man, my son. If you're grinning all the time, if in our world today a person goes and nothing ever bothers you, something's wrong with you. That's just a fact of life. And it is a fact in Scripture that believers are not always smiling. That's just the way it works. Now, are Christians a happy folk? Of course we are. Do we have reason to be happy? Of course we do. Do we have blessings that accrue to those who follow God that the world cannot even understand? Of course we do. Is there a peace of mind that can permeate the very soul of a faithful child of God that other folks just don't get? Yes, Philippians 4. Peace that passes understanding. All of those things are true, but does that mean that every day is going to be ya-ya smiles and bright eyes and bushy-tailed and just everything? No. No. Why? Because we live in a world where, for the most part, sin reigns. Jesus said it in Matthew 7. Most people are walking the easy way that leads to eternal destruction. Relatively speaking, there are few that walk the difficult way that leads to life. So the reality is, for a child of God, or anybody else for that matter, trouble enters every life. You can go to John chapter 16 when Jesus is talking to his apostles, and he knows that he's not long for this life. And he tells them, he said, these things I've spoken to you. Why? That in me you may have peace. Well, why are we going to need peace in Christ? Because in the world you're going to have tribulation. Jesus said to his followers, you will have trouble in your life. But don't get overly burdened with it. Be of good cheer anyway, because I, Jesus said, have overcome the world. What's that? Does that mean that when trouble comes my way that I smile and I'm just... No. But it means that there is a joy and a cheer and a deep-seated peace that even the terrible difficulties and circumstances of our physical existence cannot possibly remove. If my faith in Christ is deep-seated in my heart, then that can't be touched by the physical things that happen in my life unless I allow it. Satan cannot penetrate to that core that's connected to God through faith unless I allow him to. And you know, we talk about, no, you never got, well, yes, we will have trouble. Jesus had trouble. Jesus had days where he wasn't happy as we define happy. Happy carries with it the idea of happenstance. That is, I am dependent upon the things going around me in my life. And you know, and if that's all I'm ever looking, if I have to have all everything going my way to be happy, then I'm going to have most days, probably, then I'm not going to be happy. Jesus wasn't like that, but he still had days where he had sorrow. And we know that because that was what was prophesied about him 700 years before he was born. The prophet Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men. A man of what? Sorrows. Acquainted with grief. When you are experiencing sorrow and grief, you're not going to be happy as we would define. We're not going to always have a smile on our face. That doesn't mean that I've lost my faith. That means I'm a human being that's serving God and I'm going through difficult times just like my Savior did. Jesus did. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. That's what the prophet Isaiah, the messianic prophet, wrote about the Messiah that was to come in about 700 years, that he would be a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. To think that I can avoid sorrow and grief when Jesus didn't, I need to rethink that proposition. But then you look at that great Apostle Paul. He is a classic example of a man who is committed to God through Christ as much as anyone that ever walked the planet, outside of perhaps Jesus Christ himself. I mean, he was more than willing. At one point, he even said, I'm willing to give up my eternal destiny and spend eternity in torment if it would mean that my people, the Jewish nation, would come to Christ. I mean, that's how much he loved God and how much he loved people. He was willing to give himself in any way possible. I become all things to all men, he said, that by all means I might do what? Win some. And so when we read in our text a moment ago from Philippians 4, verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I find myself to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to have an abundance. I know everywhere in all things. I've learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Why could Paul, by inspiration, write Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know why? Because he knew what it meant to fail. He had had failure. He had been in need. He had had times when times were hard. And he realized, with Christ on my side, I was okay even then. The life of a child of God is not always a constant string of successes. There are going to be failures. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be trials, tribulation, trouble, and trauma. And I need to be aware of that. But with Christ on my side, Paul learned that he could do anything he needed to do to please God. Why? Because he gained his strength through Jesus the Christ. That's why. He would never have known that had he not ever experienced failure. If one wants to appreciate success, one has to, at some point, know the opposite, pretty much. Know what it means to not have that success. So then I can have a greater joy when I do. Paul understood that. And so he knew, he learned in the hard times. And if we look at our lives, generally speaking, look back on our lives, where do we look back and go, wow, I learned a good lesson there. Wow, I learned it. Was it when everything was going our way? Generally, no. It's when I messed up. When life hit me upside the head with a 2x4. And as I was getting myself up off the ground, I learned some lessons. And I look back, and that's usually when I grow, during times of difficulty. If you want to grow strength-wise, you have to use resistance training. You have to put those muscles under stress and difficulty for them to grow stronger. The same is true with my faith. The same is true with my life. The same is true with me. When I go through stress and difficulty and come out the other side, I am better prepared to live for God here and with God in the hereafter. Paul understood that. That's why he could say, I can do all things, because he'd already been tested. He already knew. I've been without and I've been with. And guess what? I can do both with Christ. I can be content in either situation because of Christ. And now I know if I can do that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul admitted that there were times when he was down. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul was having difficulty. He needed somebody to build up his energy. He needed comforting. Well, Titus came and provided that for him. He was having a difficult time. Someone came, a brother in Christ, and it made a difference, which is a whole different sermon altogether. Just think on that one when you get home. He had times when his friends were not around. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, and this was written right near the end of his physical existence on this planet. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Now, I'm sure at that point he knew kind of what Christ felt like. Matthew 26:56. All his apostles forsook him and fled. Right there in the garden that night he was arrested. Paul knew what that was like. But even at that, he could say in that same chapter just previous to this, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, therefore there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge will give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. He knew that even when everybody forsook him, he was victorious. Why? Because he had already learned that I can do whatever I need to do through Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is not a glorified picnic, and God does not promise us smooth sailing. Here's what he promises. A safe landing. That's what he promises. The seas may be rough from time to time, but as long as I hold on to him, I'll have a safe landing at some point. See, it isn't, and I've said this many times, it isn't the absence of conflict that makes for a good life or even a peaceful life. It's not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of Christ that makes my life abundant. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? The thief comes just to steal and to kill and to destroy. But in contrast, I have come that they might have life and that we can have it how? More abundantly. That's what Christ does. Never did he say, follow me, be my disciple, and all your cares and burdens will cease. In fact, what he said was, follow me, and you may have your family turn on you. You may have everything you own taken away from you. But you trust me. Trust me. I'll make sure that you have a safe landing, no matter what you endure. because of your faith in me. And he has, he does, and he will continue to do so. And for the most part, we're blessed to live in a society where, and it's rapidly declining, I realize that, but in reality, we still have the freedom to do this. So many places in the world, you can't even do this without wondering, are the authorities going to bust in the back door and take us all to jail? No, we are blessed. So for the most part, most of us throughout our entire lives have really suffered very little persecution because of our faith. But regardless of what happens, we live a life that runs in opposition to the majority of the lives that are lived on earth. And because of that, we're going to experience resistance. And most likely it's going to get worse before, if ever, it gets better in our country. And we need to know that even with the conflict that may come, even more so than we have now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to close with a poem. I was thinking about this morning, and I looked it up, and it's a song. Actually, it's not in our songbook, and it's not in the Blue Songbook either. At least I couldn't find it. But I know I have sung this song before, or I feel like I have. It's called What God Hath Promised. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That is what God has promised to me and you. And if you have not been born by virtue of water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5, into God's family, 1 Timothy 3:15, the church that belongs to Christ, which He died to pay for, Acts 20:28, over which He now reigns as head, Ephesians 1:22-23, Colossians 1:18, then if I have not been immersed in water, buried, that is, Romans 6:3-4, for the forgiveness of my sin, Acts 2:38, for the salvation of my soul, Mark 16:16, for being able to rejoice, being called a believer, Acts 16:30-34, then by all means, there's water in the baptistry behind me. You can be baptized, born of water in the Spirit, into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27, this morning. And we can have the God that has promised strength for the day and His undying love. If anyone needs to respond, just come down front while we stand and sing.